Blog Talk Radio.
Teacher on this evening. We want to say shalom, family. We hope everybody has had a blessed week, that you had a blessed day yesterday. I was slammed at work yesterday, and it was a good thing I didn't schedule anything. Let me close this window. It's a good thing I didn't schedule anything yesterday because it would have been hard to do anyway. Nevertheless, Yah is good and greatly to be praised. We are going to be looking at our Messiah, and I'm thinking that this is going to take two parts. maybe not, just I guess it depends upon how fast Yah allows me to move through it. But we wanted to look at, number one, just the prophecies concerning his coming. And then I wanted to look at it from the standpoint of his birth, his conception, and his birth. Because these are things that we as believers should understand. Now, I don't know if I'm going to go into this as deep as, going back into the law and showing how his birth was sinless and those types of things. Those are things that probably will be met for another time. Nevertheless, I just wanted us to take a look into glory and what our Elohim is doing. And glory in the birth of our Messiah. Because truly, I feel like we neglect this as a people, especially when we're trying to stay out of the paganism and out of the worship of Christmas and another deity, another God. All right, so let us do our statement of faith. Let me pull this up, our statement of faith, and then we will pray in, and then we'll jump into this. All right, our statement of faith. And let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And also, since I'm back on this phone again, let me make sure that I can be heard okay here. All right, shalom, family. Am I able to be heard okay?
Shalom, brother. Yes, I can hear you.
All right,
amen.
Thank you.
Amen, shalom, brother. We can hear you.
All right, amen. Thank you. All right, I'm going to mute everybody. All right, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise this afternoon or this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for your tender mercy. Thank you for just loving us and giving us salvation. Thank you for providing for us every day, day in and day out. Hallelujah. Thank you for keeping us and giving us a right mind to worship and obey you, Father. Hallelujah. Because everybody don't do it. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for everything that you have done for us. We thank you for your manifest mercies and your glory, Father, that you are going to reveal to us in time. Hallelujah, Father. So we just love you today. We love you. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. We just want to praise your mighty name. Glory to your name. Glory, glory, glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe this day that you have given us to just serve you, Father. A day of rest, a day of worship, a day of learning. We ask that you would forgive us our sins, Father, as we forgive those who have transgressed against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, we want to recognize that you have walked contrary to us, and we have walked contrary to you. And you have said in your word that if we would acknowledge that we have sinned against you and accept of the punishment for our sins, that you would turn again your eyes and your ears toward your people, Israel, and you would hear our prayers and our supplications. Father, we acknowledge our sins against you. We acknowledge and accept the punishment that you have placed upon your people, Israel. And we are begging you to come and deliver us from this captivity. Father, we pray that for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. And we pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give them a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray, amen and amen. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 8, and let us start in verse 46. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, and let us start in verse 46. First Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee, in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto them, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, their dwelling place, in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all the transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High have a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. We are going to be looking at Messiah. And I have been all over the place in the scriptures this afternoon. I start putting together these verses 3 or 4 days ago. But then, you know, you start to study and one thing takes you one place and another thing takes you another place and you're just all over the place. And the Most High has just been showing me things today that are in a sort of a different light concerning, but not for today. These are things that they don't go into this precept, but I'm just saying he just had me all over this book doing deep dives on different words and looking at some different kings where, you know, I see that we are still suffering from the curse of one of these kings. Anyway, the birth, we're looking at our Messiah, part one. And we're going to start this off. Let us go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to get verses 10 and 11. The book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, or not there, but waters the earth, and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I want you in those verses to underline my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, because this is the word of Yah, the word that goes forth out of his mouth. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 1. The book of John, chapter 1. And we're going to get verse 1. The book of John, chapter 1, and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. So just as he said in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, so shall the word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. This is the word that the Most High spoke concerning Messiah. And so we're going to look at that. When was this first prophesied concerning Messiah? Because the Most High had to speak it. And then once he spoke it, he said, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall go out to accomplish that which I please. So let's go to the book of Revelations. Let's jump all the way to the book of Revelations. When was this first prophesied? Go to the book of Revelations, chapter 13. The book of Revelations, chapter 13, and we're going to get verse number 8, and then we're going to jump to 1 Peter. And all that dwell upon the earth, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundations of the world. So this prophecy was made before the foundations of the world, before the world was ever even created. The Most High spoke the word concerning the Messiah. I already see what's going to happen. And I need to speak about a sacrifice that's going to need to be made in the world before the world was ever even formed, before the foundations of the world, or from the foundations of the world. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and get another witness for this. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, and we're going to get verses 19 through 21. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. But the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, this had to be prophesied before the foundations of the world. Who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in Elohim, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in Elohim. So Elohim said that this lamb had to be what? Without spot and without blemish, that the lamb had to be that, and he prophesied it out of his mouth before the foundations of the world. This before he made the earth and everything else. When did this come to pass? Go to Galatians chapter 4. And we're just dealing with this word right now. We're dealing with the word of Yah and the prophecy. When did he do it? And when did this prophecy actually come to pass? How? The book of Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to get verses 4 and 5. The book of Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, Elohim sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. So So the Most High prophesied this thing before or from the foundations of the world. And then he said what Messiah had to be, that he had to be blameless. He had to be faultless. He had to be without sin. And then the way the Most High's word works is in that word was also when he was supposed to come in, when the fullness of time was come. When it was time for Messiah to come into the world according to what was prophesied about him, then the word came into the world. It was sent forth by the Father. It's time. But this wasn't an individual, this was a word. And we got to understand that about the word of the Most High. It is an active force. It goes about to accomplish whatever he sends it for. This word had been waiting around from the foundations of the world, waiting to do what the Most High intended for it to do. So when the fullness of time was come, Elohim sent forth his son. But he just didn't speak it at that time. That was already in that prophecy. You will go into the world at this time. And this is the woman that you will go into. I already knew that her name would be Mary and that she would be a virgin, that she would be engaged to be married. All these things were already preordained from the foundations of the world. So let's start looking at the Most High spoke this thing from the beginning. Before he created anything, he already knew what man was going to do. He already knew that Adam and Eve would fall. He already knew everything that was going to already happen. Because the thing we got to realize about our Elohim, he is in the past, present, and future all at the same time because he's outside of time. Time has no relevance on him. It has no bearing on him. Right now, the Most High could be talking to you when you were 2 years old, right now, at this very second, and when you're 30 years old, when you're 60 years old, when you're 70 years old, when you're 90, the Most High could be with you right now at your deathbed, and you just haven't reached it yet. And so he sees these things, and he sees our lives as they unfold. But before they unfold for us, we are stuck in this now as though the Most High is, and he is not. He's like he's looking at a movie. But he says, you know, I'm outside of time, and I can see you at all these different times. I know what decisions you're going to make. And I don't have to influence your decisions. I just know what decisions you're going to make because I see you making them. I see what changed your heart about whatever. I see what hardened your heart about whatever. And I see why you made the decisions that you made. And I know who's going to end up in my kingdom, and I know who's not already. We don't know, but he already knows. So his word was sitting around. This part of his word, this word that he spoke concerning the Messiah, waiting for the fullness of time to come in. Then it was went about to do what it was that he sent it to do. So let's start looking at how he started introducing us to this. Now we're not gonna look at all the situations and go into all the situations that bring about these certain prophecies for the simple reason we won't have enough time to do it. But as concerning about his coming, we want to look at these verses because, number one, we have to believe them by faith. Truth of the matter is, none of us have ever seen Messiah. And even if we've seen him in a vision or a dream, we haven't seen him in the flesh. And so we have to believe that he is and that he came and is coming back through faith. So this is what our forefathers had. They had the Torah. They had the spoken word, and they had to believe it by faith. The book of Genesis chapter 3. And we're just going to just start walking through the verses concerning Messiah that I can find, and I will probably have to add to this because he comes in the volume of the book, and sometimes you can't even see, even with hindsight, sometimes it's hard to see Messiah in the scripture until the Most High reveals it to you. Oh, wait a minute, that's Messiah right there. Oh, wait a minute, that's Messiah again right there. Okay. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It's not saying seed, but seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So already knew that the coming Messiah, number one, was going to be a he, and number two, that he was going to be in a battle against the serpent, and that he would come through a woman. Now, a woman doesn't have what we would call, in the Hebrew, the word for sperm and the word for egg is the same thing. I think it's zygote, or it's, don't even count that. I have to look it back up again. I forgot what it's called, but it's one word. But it's seed for man and the seed for the woman. So it didn't say it would come through the seed of the man. It said it would come through her seed. So the Most High is also revealing something right there. That, what do you mean her seed? The natural world, the natural man would tell you that you have a seed and an egg, according to our understanding. But in the Hebrew, they are called one and the same thing. So he's saying, I'm going to use the woman and her seed, and there's not going to be a man involved. Let's continue. Go to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 3. As I said, a lot of things you can see in hindsight. Looking backwards, after we know who Messiah is, there's a lot of things we can go back into the scripture. Oh, there he is right there. There he is right there. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So this is talking about through the seed of Abraham, all of the earth shall be blessed. We know this is also talking about Messiah. So there's an indirect reference to him. But the promise was to Abraham. And Abraham was shown a vision of a city that wasn't built with hands. But he was also shown the Messiah. And he knew that through his lineage that Messiah would come. Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. And let's get verse 10. The book of Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. And the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh is in reference to Messiah. Until Shiloh come. Now, in I can imagine people back in the day, our forefathers, reading these, and they would be seeing a physical king, but not really tying this to, at the time, not until later, not really tying this to being Elohim come down. They would be looking for as this was a man. Okay, but then there's some prophecies that are made about the Messiah that you got to say, well, wait a minute, how's that supposed? They had to say, how's that supposed to happen? Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we're going to start in verse 17. Now, this is when he's talking to Israel, and he has really just given Israel the law and getting ready, not really just giving them the law, but getting ready to tell them what to do in the promised land. And this prophecy comes out. And Yah said unto me, starting in verse 17, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, and like unto thee, like unto Moses. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not listen or hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now, not of Messiah. He's talking about he will require it of the person that won't listen. So he's telling us right here that what Messiah has to say is of highly importance, and if you won't listen to it, then he's going to require it of you. He's going to hold you accountable for it. Why didn't you listen to the words of my prophet? Now, he's identifying him here just as a prophet. But he's going to be a prophet after the manner of Moses. Moses brought the law, so he's supposed to also do what? Bring the law, or a change thereto, or a fulfilling of it. And I didn't go into the book of Matthew at the Mount of Transfiguration, where Elijah and Moses appear with Messiah. And we have Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, who represents the prophets, to the law and the prophets. But these are they, the law and the prophets, that speak about who? The Messiah. Here he is. It's like a handoff. Here's the one we spoke about. This is a testimony. Here's the one Moses, here's that prophet Moses spoke about. Here's that man that the scriptures, the Messiah that the prophets are speaking about. So he uses Moses and Elijah as like the handoff, as the verification. This is the Messiah. This is the one. Hear you him. This is what they were supposed to be looking for. Maybe I need to go get that sometime. Him will you hear at the Mount of Transfiguration. The voice comes out of heaven and says, this is my beloved son. Hear you him. This is the one that I was telling you about. So let's go to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 7. Now, again, we're just looking at the prophecies talking about the Messiah coming. Prophecies talking about the Messiah coming. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The book of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore, Yah himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, there's two words for a virgin in the Hebrew. One means a young maiden, and one can also mean an older maiden who has already been with a man. But the one Bethuel, the one that is using for in this verse, is the one that is a young maiden that's not ever been with a man. So when he's saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive, when people first read that, there's nothing there to say that this is a supernatural birth. You put it together with what he wrote about in Genesis, saying the seed of the woman, then you might think that this is a young woman that got married and conceived. And this is what a lot of Orthodox Hebrews believe, that, hey, there is no way that a woman can conceive a child without a man. So this young virgin was just a young woman that was with a man. And they can't get that out of their head, because they want to reject everything that is in the New Testament. Okay? So we're just told that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Let's go to chapter 9. The book of Isaiah, chapter 9. The book of Isaiah, chapter 9, and we're going to get verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty Elohim, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And when we go and we go back into Genesis and we go back to Melchizedek, Melchizedek was the king of peace. And a king and a prince are basically the same thing, except for one is the son of the other. The everlasting father. This is another title that he's supposed to have. How many everlasting fathers do you think we have? Eternal fathers. There's only one. But to us, there is but one Elohim, the mighty Elohim. This is who this child is going to be. The counselor. Wonderful. So he's holding these titles. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forevermore. Or forever, the zeal of Yah's host will perform this. Now here we have a dual prophecy, or a prophecy that part of it is fulfilled at one time, and the second part of it will be fulfilled later. And so we have Messiah coming. We have him establishing the government of heaven on the earth, reestablishing it. And then he is adopted by Joseph, and his mother Mary was also of the seed of Judah. So from his lineage would be from the throne of David. He's adopted into that family also by Joseph, and Joseph is of the house of Judah as well. But we know Joseph is not his natural father. How do we know that? Because we're told that. The scriptures tell us, but we'll read that at another time. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. So we have still these prophecies concerning that there's a coming Messiah and that he's going to be a ruler. He's going to be the mighty Elohim. He's the everlasting Father. If they understood, and they had to understand that Melchizedek was the Most High himself in flesh, and Abraham was, you know, diverted to come and pay tithes to him, to set up that precedent. Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 1. We're going to get verses 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. And the spirit of Yah shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yah. And he shall make him of a quick understanding in the fear of Yah. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now, by his words and everything that he spoke, because this is Yah in the flesh, whatever he speaks has to come to pass. Again, just as he spoke before the foundations of the world, when Messiah, he said, they came to the condemned not. He didn't come to judge, but his words is going to condemn who? And slay the wicked. Because if we are sinners, then by him pronouncing that we have a way out, and if we don't take it, then his word will come true, that we will, as the wicked, we will be slayed when he returns. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40. So we see that when Messiah comes, he's not going to judge the poor. His judgment for the poor is going to be on their behalf. His sword is his mouth. What does the Most High use? The Most High says, my word. It's his active force. When we read in Ephesians concerning the suit, I want to say this. Wow, brain dump. In Ephesians, when we are told concerning put on the salvation, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, it says, is the word of Yah. This is how Yah operates. My word shall go out of my mouth. It shall go about to accomplish that which I sent it, and it shall not return unto me null and void. So Yah says, use his word. His word, in the fullness of time, came into creation. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Now, we're going to be reading all these verses because this chapter. We got to go to Isaiah 40 first. I'm sorry. I missed that. I said it and then talked right over it. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. Now, this is concerning John, but it's telling you who John is going to be announcing. So this is a prophecy concerning Messiah. This was something that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were supposed to be looking for, something that when we read the scriptures, this is about Messiah, but it's telling you who Messiah actually is and who John is actually announcing. Isaiah 40 and 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yah. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. This is who he's crying that's coming. And if we went down to verse 10 or somewhere in that area, it would say that. He's saying, well, what shall I cry? Tell Israel your Elohim is here. But this is actually a messianic prophecy because Messiah is the king of Israel. Elohim is the king of Israel. And so this is a messianic prophecy. Make straight the pathways of our Elohim. And John is told to announce it from the top of the hills and tell Israel your Elohim is here. So this is another prophecy concerning his coming. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. And I really would recommend for everyone that you would read the entire Isaiah 40, that you would read the entire thing because the Most High, I don't even know how to say it, the declarations that he makes in Isaiah 40, and it's just, I don't know, it's mind-blowing for me. But I would recommend that you read it, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 1. Isaiah chapter 53, starting in verse 1. Now, it was not until I was studying from the book of John in the New Testament, and I had been reading the Gospels, and Messiah, you know, one of the things that I saw in there was the lack of belief as who he is. And I don't remember the exact verse I was reading, but then it brought me back to Isaiah 53. And who has believed our report? The "our" in this is really referring to Father and Son. Who has believed our report? But I got that from the New Testament when John was talking about Messiah, and Messiah kept asking, do you believe who I say that I am? Do you believe that I am he? And so in the Torah and prophecy is written from a plural who has believed our report, but it's talking about Father and Son. Do you believe that I am He? Do you believe I am Father and Son? Because this is what He wanted them to understand. And to whom is the arm of Yah revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. He was not a handsome man. No form nor comeliness. When it says you are comely, it means that you are, as a woman, beautiful, or as a man, handsome. And so it's telling us here that Messiah was of no form, meaning that, you know, hey, he wasn't a real big stature, and he wasn't handsome. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So the verse just sort of explains itself. But that word comely or comeliness actually means, when you see it elsewhere, it will mean beautiful or handsome. Now it just spells out, and when you shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, again, this is hindsight. This is us already having the scriptures fulfilled, and we should be able to see Messiah in this. But for all those before this, this may have been hard to see. So, you know, I thank Yah that we have 2020 hindsight vision, because it allows us to make some connections and come to some understanding that maybe our forefathers couldn't. And still today, still a lot of people can't. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of Elohim. So they thought that, hey, this, you know, you cursed by Elohim and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, people love those verses, and a lot of people try to claim that, oh, this is Israel. This is Israel itself. And I'm saying, how in the world do you come to that conclusion? When was Israel ever good enough to be a sacrifice for anybody? Matter of fact, the Most High said he gave men for Israel's sake. Ethiopia and Seba gave them their lives for the sins of Israel. So when could Israel ever act in this regard? So, you know, I look out like, hey, I don't see it in the scriptures where this could ever be Israel. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And Yah has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his debt, because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Yah to bruise him. Now, people have to understand, the Most High was taking out on Messiah what he wanted to take out on us. Yet it pleased Yah to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Now, this is where Orthodox Jews have a problem. Our brothers and sisters who are Torah only. As soon as they read that part, can't no man die for our sins? You going to tell the Most High what he can and cannot do? He shall make his soul an offering for sins, and he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yah shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Every man is supposed to bear his own iniquities, but Messiah is coming to bear the iniquities of mankind, and whosoever can hear and do. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So Isaiah chapter 53 really lays out everything that Messiah would go through, and why he was here, and what his purpose was. And at this time, this was all prophecy. And so, you know, men were trying to figure this out. Oh, this is Israel. No, come on now. Israel was never fit to be a sacrifice. So, you know, we have people trying to justify this all over the place. We'll see how they condemn us, see how they despise us, see how they kill us all the day long, etc. But we still don't qualify as a sacrifice. We have never done what the Most High told us to do. We were in need of being saved. So, you know, people will try to make up that this is Israel itself. Go to the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah. Because the Elohim we serve, he is good. He said, hey, I need to get you out of trouble. And it's going to please me to bruise the Messiah so I can get back in relationship with you. I'm going to come and let you do to me what I've been wanting to do to you. The book of Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me. Now, who is talking here? Let's go get who's talking here. Because me is a personal pronoun. Zechariah chapter 12. And I just got that verse. Oh, wow. Okay. Zechariah chapter 12. Let's go to verse 8. And in that day shall Yah defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Hold on a minute. Go to verse 4. Because we're going to look and see who's talking. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 4. In that day, saith Yah, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. And I will open the eyes upon the house of Judah. And I will smite every horse of the people with blindness. Now we drop back down to the who's talking doesn't change. And when it says, and I will pour upon the house of David. Yah is still talking through the prophet. And upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me. This is Yah talking, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him. Now it changes like what happened there. They shall look upon me, but they shall mourn for him. He's showing you the duality. As one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And let me play a song real quick. I have to answer this page. I'm on call right now. So give me a hot 5 minutes. Let's see here. I had another song I wanted to play. Oh, here it is. All right. I will be right back.
You gotta have some.
All right. Amen. All right. We're going to continue with this. I'll try to get it to a point. Then I'm going to have to go. I kind of got an emergency. All right. Let's go to the book of Micah. Micah. Chapter 5. The book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. The book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Now, at first, I didn't think that that was applying to Messiah, but it is applying to Messiah. So, verse 2. So, that is something that's supposed to happen to him when they take him. But also, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. So again, it's telling you that who is coming? The one that's from old, from everlasting. The one that's eternal. He's coming. Prophecies about him. Let's try to get two more in here, and then we will pick this up Thursday. Well, no, we got business meeting Thursday. So maybe Friday we'll pick this up concerning, and I'll be off call then, so it'll be all good then. Go to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. Book of Numbers, chapter 24. Starting in verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near or not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. This is another prophecy of Messiah in Torah. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, and we're going to get verses 5 through 8. Behold, the day cometh, saith Yah, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell in safe, and shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called Yah, our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, that they shall no more say, Yah liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, this is what we're saying right now, and we always say this, and this is what Passover is about, the Passover observance for Torah, and then we have the Passover observance for the Lord's Supper, which we're about to observe here in a few weeks. But he's saying that we are supposed to repeat this story to our children of how Yah brought us out of the land of Egypt. But he's saying the day is going to come, but Yah liveth which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. So there's another Exodus coming, and we have to be looking for it. And until that time, until he calls for that Exodus, then we are supposed to be carrying on building this kingdom. But there's another Exodus coming that we're going to celebrate, and not like we did before, where we celebrate coming out of Egypt, but where the Messiah shall gather us. And we will celebrate him bringing us out of all the countries where we were scattered. Now, we were going to go into his conception and his birth, okay? But we will do that on Friday. That will be the lesson on Friday. We will start with his conception and his birth, because now we're going to be looking at, in the New Testament, concerning his conception, and then concerning his birth as to what the scriptures say. And we're going to look at, you know, the actors and the players in this. So we are looking for our King. We are looking for our Savior. We're looking for our Redeemer. We're looking for the one that's going to gather us out of all the countries of the earth. The thing is, Israel was looking for this at that time. But they were already, when he came, they were already in their land. So we know that this second prophecy that we read about for Passover, where he brought us out of Egypt, where we're going to be celebrating him bringing us out of the north country and all the countries where he scattered us into. And this is a future prophecy of Messiah. So on Friday, we will deal with his conception and his birth, and how these things fit into the scriptures, how they have to fulfill scripture, and how we are even given a sign of when we'll go back into Torah to get how we know that this month would be the month of his birth based upon the tabernacle. And I apologize for this, but I can't let this go, can't let this one hang out there too long. So I have to address this. Let us bow our heads. And I pray to see you guys Thursday business meeting, Friday Sabbath. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for showing us Messiah in the scriptures. We thank you for giving us an understanding of how your word works, that your word will go out, and it will go out to accomplish whatever you sent it to do, and it will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it for. So we know that your word is true. We know that even when you walked in flesh, Father, that everything that you spoke has to come true. Even if Messiah was only a prophet, because he would be your prophet, whatever he spoke would have to come true. But we know that you and he are one and the same. That is your spirit that was within him, and that was reconciling the world into itself. So, Father, we just want to give you glory, and we want to give you honor. We want to give you praise. We want to acknowledge you coming into the world and stepping down from out of heaven when you didn't have to do it. We want to mourn for you, Father, that the world should despise you. We just want to be your loving servants. Father, keep us and bless us. Keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again at the appointed time, Yah bless you and keep you. Shalom, my brothers and sisters.
The world and the universe. if I don't have you, it's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? But I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo. Need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always